The way that people treat death and burials differs a lot, depending on the location, culture, or the time period. Our next guest has found those practices have often been shaped by fear. Fear of things like vampires, ghosts, even of being buried alive. Chad Lewis is a researcher, author, and lecturer who's traveled the world in search of the strange and supernatural. He'll be talking about burial traditions at the Sun Prairie Public Library on Wednesday, October 17th at 6:30. Chad, welcome back to Central Time.
Happy October to you.
You too. Well, I know this is your busy month, so thanks for taking a few moments with us today. Chad, what got you interested? I know you follow stories of the supernatural and local folklore. What got you interested in the way we think about death and burials?
It was really working on a series of books about old deaths. And what I was finding is the obituaries back then were much different than today's, where today's is something like old man Lewis died peacefully surrounded by his loving family. Back then, they included all the grisly details of the death, so much so that it's like reading a horror novel back then. And that got me started about how people viewed death, how they were closer to it, and what they did to avoid it, or at least avoid those coming back from it.
And we kind of sanitized it a lot in the modern days. You're not going to see those, for example, grisly details in most obituaries, for example.
Yes, they don't list how the death occurred, none of the circumstances, and we removed death from our life. That oftentimes in the old days, people died in their homes. They had the funeral there. They had the wake there. They would take photographs with the dead as a souvenir. It may be the only picture they had of the deceased. And they'd have the funeral right in their parlor, hence the term funeral parlor. But today we've kind of outsourced it all. People go to hospice, and then the funeral director takes care of it all. So I think we're a bit more removed from it today than they were in the old days.
Now you're going to be talking about some burial techniques and customs at the Sun Prairie Public Library. Let's get a sneak preview with some of the things. A lot of things people used to do were based on what I see as a very rational fear. People worried that they were going to be buried alive.
This may seem a little silly today with modern science and medicine, but whether you were in a diabetic shock or in a coma, doctors would often pronounce you dead. And lo and behold, many people would pop up just in the nick of time to be saved from being buried alive. So they were terrified of it. So they came up with several inventions, one of which was a spring-loaded coffin that had a handle on the inside. So if you awoke and found yourself buried alive, you could pull the handle and it would flip the top of the coffin up. I don't know how well it worked with 6 feet of dirt on top of it, but I do have numerous accounts of pallbearers not being careful as they should and moving the body, and it triggered that lever and up came the top of the casket, giving everyone quite the scare.
Oh boy, that's not good. Did you come across any stories of somebody pulling the lever, like waking up in the casket and, you know, pulling the lever just in time before they got buried?
Not with the spring-loaded caskets, because they were very rare. And the same goes for the cemetery bell. That was a bell that would sit on top of your grave with a rope going in on a pole to your casket. The same effect, you could pull it, it would ring the bell and alert the caretaker who lived at the cemetery that you had been buried alive and they could theoretically come and rescue you. But one problem they had is on many nights, the wind would set these bells off, giving the caretaker quite a scare thinking everyone was buried alive.
Yeah, would there be a false alarm and they'd dig up a grave in that instance? Or maybe they'd go and say, oh, no, clearly it was the wind is blowing it.
Yes, they would double check it. And I heard from a lot of people that their churches, when they would have a funeral in the old days, would do a series of knocks. At the very beginning, when they closed the coffin, they would knock several times and listen for a response. On the way to the graveyard, they would knock several times. And then on the last, right before lowering the tomb in, they would knock again and listen just to give somebody a chance in case they were buried alive.
Talking to Chad Lewis, researcher and author. He's written a lot about the supernatural and other strange stories here in Wisconsin and around the world. He's talking now about, it's October, we're looking at burial traditions, some strange ones from eras past. And Chad, you say some customs and rituals were based on being worried about supernatural stuff, vampires, that kind of thing. What went on?
Yes, it's amazing how superstitious people were in that era. And everything from putting a iron bar on the casket of a loved one with the belief that they could not, spirits cannot pass through iron. Or you would see an iron gate around their grave, not to keep us out like most people think, but to keep the spirits in. But in rural places around the world, they would often bury their loved one with a brick in their mouth so they could not come back as a vampire. Or if you were afraid of someone you had wronged in life coming back to haunt you, you'd bury them face down. So if they woke up and tried to dig their way out, they would actually be digging deeper into the ground. So a lot of these weird procedures that people had to do to protect themselves from the paranormal.
Were there particular times and places where these worries about some kind of weird supernatural thing happening with the recently deceased were really important to people?
It was really the height of it was the late 1800s, early 1900s, which also was the height of the spiritualist movement, which believed that when you die, not only does your spirit continue on, but you could contact that spirit through a seance or a medium or psychic. And it was, for high society, it was great to be invited on the weekend to a seance in town. That was the hip thing to do at the time, is to be invited, and they'd have a big seance with a traveling medium that would come in, and people would be fearful that their loved ones were unhappy with them in the afterlife.
Now, you mentioned earlier, Chad, that we didn't used to do things in funeral homes and whatnot. We had home funerals very often. Can you give us a sense of what these were like?
Yes, they were somber events, but also a celebration of the life. That it's so amazing, people actually collect death photos, because oftentimes when someone passed on, Uncle Lewis or what be it, that people would gather and take photos with the deceased body, especially children, and they would carry that photo around, because oftentimes, again, that might be the only photo they had of that relative. And it wasn't creepy. It wasn't seen as spooky or gruesome. It was seen as everyday part of life. And there are a lot of collectors who are picking those photos out of old flea markets and the like, who are interested in the historic relevance of them.
And that's got to be a big prize for people who are doing family genealogy, I guess. Probably once you go back to a certain era, this is the kind of picture you might be able to find of your ancestors.
Yeah, it may be the only photo you had, because, again, especially in the late 1800s, early 1900s, if you had a photo, it was very expensive. So oftentimes, the only photo some people would have is when they were deceased.
And finally, a big topic in October, and thinking about horror stories and the supernatural, the idea of grave robbing. And, Chad, you say that used to be an industry for a while. Why?
Yes, people could make a living being a grave robber. And what they would do is follow the obituary sections in newspapers. And as soon as someone was buried, they would go out that night, dig them up, and take the body. And they did it not out of some gruesome, serial killer type lurking. They did it because they were hired by the nation's medical facilities and our colleges, that these programs did not have enough cadavers for the medical students to work on, so they would, under the table, hire these grave robbers to steal bodies, bring them to the university where they could conduct their medical procedures on them. So many people earned quite a living doing this.
And that, I guess, thankfully went away as we developed a system where people could donate their remains to science, right?
Yes, and of course, once people started being buried with concrete over them, to make it much more difficult than just digging a hole and retrieving the body. So we tried to prevent this on many different areas and aspects of it.
And Chad, before we let you go, what kind of stories are you looking to collect yourself? What kind of stories are you hunting for when it comes to burial customs?
I always love family traditions, that when there's a whole set of rituals you had to go through when someone died in your house. First thing was to open a window so the spirit could leave your house. You'd have to cover the mirrors so death could not come after you. You'd have to take the body feet first out so they would not look back at your house and attach their spirit there. But I'm looking for a lot of the local traditions that may have only been practiced by one congregation or one family. Those are the things that really interest me because, as I say, nothing is as weird as death.
Good place to leave it. Chad, thanks for joining us again.
Keep an eye out.
That's Chad Lewis. He's written over 20 books on folklore and the supernatural. He'll be talking more about burial traditions on Wednesday, October 17th at the Sun Prairie Public Library. That talk starts at 6:30. It's free and open to the public.